I want to welcome everybody today on this incredibly gorgeous day. Ithaca really is gorgeous sometimes. This is our annual spring poetry slam, but this year we're doing something a little bit different than we have in the past, because this year we're collaborating with Cornell University as part of National Poetry Month. I know that IHS students know that it's Poetry Month because we've been reading poetry over the loudspeaker every morning all month long. It's been really nice. And this is also kind of in conjunction with New York City's 9th annual Poem in Your Pocket Day, which was celebrated April 14th in New York City. And we're sort of bringing it here. So today we have with us several Masters in Fine Arts students from Cornell in the creative writing program at Cornell. And they asked us to work with them to create this event. And so our poetry slam that happens every year kind of grew into something new and wonderful, and I'm really, really happy to see folks here. So thank you for coming. Part of what Cornell has done, you might already have in your hands, and that is a beautiful little book of poetry by the MFA students who are with us today and some others. And it's pocket-sized, so you can walk around and always have a poem in your pocket, which I think you should do every day. I want to thank the people from Cornell, and I don't know everybody's names, but I know Tracy Vosburg. Where's Tracy? Thank you, Tracy, for helping us make this collaboration possible. And Eric, our videographer today, that's Eric, and Robert, our still photographer, and of course the poets from Cornell. Do you guys want to stand up for just a sec? Do you mind? Thank you. Yay. They're going to show us how it's done. And their professor, Alice, but I don't know your last name, Alice. Fulton, Alice Fulton. Great. Thank you for being here. I also want to thank our library staff because they helped me with stuff like getting the podium here and the microphone and the speaker and hooking all that up so it actually works, because I don't know how to do that. And our custodial team for helping us get the quad ready and usable and bringing the chairs around for us. And there's probably a lot of other people that I'm forgetting. So thank you to anybody who helped us. Oh, I'm forgetting a really important bunch of people. I'm sorry, you guys. The Ithaca High School Poetry Club should stand up now. Now. Because they are really the driving force behind this. And they've helped a lot to make today happen, and they help me every day just by being part of my life, so thank you for that, and for hanging out in my room, even when there's no class. That's what I like. So today is a three-part event, and we're going to start with poetry readings by the Cornell poets, and I'll introduce them. Alex, thank you, Alex Chertok, for all the help in preparing. Thank you. So we'll start with the reading by the Cornell poets, and then we're going to move into an open mic segment, which will be a time that anybody who signed up can come up and share their poetry. And we also said that people could share other people's writing for that part of the event. So I'm hoping that lots of people will do that. We have a pretty good list. And then the third and final segment of today's event is the actual poetry slam. And I'm going to talk more about that when we get to it. But that's the part of today that is competitive, and people have signed up to share their original writings, and they will be judged. And I think there are even some prizes for the winners, okay? Woohoo, prizes. So I want to get going because we already started late, and I apologize for that. I don't like to start things late. So first up from our Cornell Poets is going to be Ben Garcia. Yay, Ben, come on up.
Hi, thanks for coming. So this is a fictionalized account of something that really happened. I'd grown up only hearing my aunt's side of the story, so I, in this poem, stepped into my dad's shoes and I guess saw it from his perspective. So, the memory jar. Sister, you will ask yourself 12 years from now, the rest of your life, why, as you slept, your little brother poured a whole jar of June beetles into the tangled nest of your hair. Remember the time you sat me pantless on an anthill, or when you locked me overnight in the chicken coop, how you tricked me into picking prickly pear barehanded. Remember it. Remember. The more you pull, the tighter the grip. Each beetle cleaving six fishhook legs. Each blessed, crap-eating scarab hissing and spitting at you like the harlot you are in a book I've not yet read, but will. It won't be for 3 days the last bug leg falls out. I have ruined your birthday forever. And you ungrateful shrew, you don't even bother to think of the trouble your brother went through for you. Dark hours in the yard the night before, waiting by the one porch light, offering my body freely to the mosquitoes as I hand-selected the choice beetles, only those whole and larger than a quarter. I treated each and every scarab with utmost care, and just before I would place them in the jar, brought each hissing bug an inch from my lips, and whispered, she hates you, she hates you. I must have done that 30 times, not that I counted, before sealing the jar. So, thank you. No, I was just, I didn't know if I was supposed to introduce Beth Rogers, but I think Beth is next.
Hi guys, I'm Beth, and the poem I'm going to read is called Echo. I wanted to make a poem where you could hear a lot of echoes happening as you read it. And it's also a poem about a guitarist named Antigone Goni. I used to play a lot of guitar when I was in high school, actually. So, Echo. To turn back at the hill or wall, all dogs will come home. All sons arrive, their pockets torn. A mirror, Narcissus drinks blue ink from the stream and cannot leave. I love you, since to imitate is a pattern learned. A call for yes again, a voice is made by doubling. Lungs lift against the chord box, stir its twins of fold. Antigone Goni's hands butterfly across the fretboard, neck where strings pull like latitude through dark. In her song, the lovers flee, horses' hooves accelerate down to the valley, and before they are called, they call out. Thanks. The next poet is Clayton Pittock.
Hi, thank you. This poem is called The Wee Hours Marathon, and it is about an encounter I had with a black bear. The Wee Hours Marathon. It was late, and I was far enough from home that my cell phone's face kept insisting it was sorry. The bear ran out in front of my car, rushing for the guardrail like it was finish line tape. This was the Wee Hours Marathon, and the black bear finished first. In the bulb flash of my headlights, he looked like the bear the toddler painted, the one that didn't look like a bear. I guess my car was a camera, and the only record I had of the event was my tall tales. Back in town, I was a faulty roll of film, unraveling my mouth for anyone. Thank you. And the next poet we have is Mr. Alex Chertok. Thank you.
Mr. Alistair. This poem is called News. It's in response to a photograph, an actual photograph I saw in my local newspaper. News. The picture looked doctored. The beast's eyes closed. The matador's almost rueful. His posture not quite erect. Shed of histrionics. His cape kissing the nape of the bull. Nothing short of a miracle, you said smiling, and returned to the kitchen. There you took your pose of latent motherhood over the stove in your apron, still nurturing the smile that had illuminated you moments before. Time stumbled and fell, Zimborska wrote, of an old Japanese painting. But here, too? A dance so tender wanted the caption, if only, with its elliptical arms straining to stop the sibilance of a propeller's whip, the inexorable moment after, an empty arena. You whistling over the cutting board set the propellers whirling again, and the body hurling into bed where the fighter touches his wife, into the pen where the bull bucks, in the wind where the photographer genuflects, to the place where a sink sounds, yes, where the secret is, then a burst of singing. And the next poet is Miss Sally Mao.
Hello. What is this furry thing? I was just wondering. It's very furry. Anyway, my poem is called How I Survived the Stampede. Listen, while the ostriches caterwauled and the avalanche subsumed the carcasses of lions, I was writing you love letters in cursive, each word a treacle of pears and azuki beans. While the fat impala limped, I hopscotched off a cliff. How could I stand it, your mouth open like that? Ended up somewhere so dark, my pupils frothed with cinders and bird lime. My tights snapped with holes and spiders laid eggs in them. I left you for dead because the cave was so hot. My ankles sweat, tiny beads of mercury, messy with soot and the stickiness of cranberries. I went spelunking. How could I not? Tooth to gut, I ached all over. Around me, big-eared bats navigated by sonar. The rumble above, an abominably beautiful bruise sound. My cuts the purple of sea snails. I can be wounded like anything else. Flint, black rhinoceros, even the cheetahs who sprint ahead, gashes glistening, insouciant. Who hasn't wished the same for herself, for himself? Who can rip out her own poultice? Me, not with these meteors in my socks. And the next poet is Miss Kimberly Williams.
Thank you so much for being here. And again, thank you for Alex and the high school and all the officials that help with this event as well. This poem is entitled To Pecola Breedlove with the Best Intentions. The poem is actually an allusion towards a character in Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye, Toni Morrison being a fellow Cornelian graduate. I stroll to the corner mart, unpaved roads, ex-inmates, a moat of burgundy glass, the stench of urine, brut, a pewter iron gate, two Corollas, one Festiva, three Cadillacs, four Huffy bikes, butts, empty skull tins, whistles, stares, scowls, behind the church, beside the liquor store, a block from Garvey Elementary. I stroll to the corner mart, two pieces of fried trout, fries, cornbread, one hamburger, no onion, extra pickle, three-piece chicken, fries, sliced white bread, one packet of Newport menthols. 1 liter pink soda, 1 gallon water. I strode to the corner mart. 2 pigtails, Pangea hair, chalk, scarred skin, morning crust round eyes, nostrils, navy blue shorts, soiled foam green tank. Out she stretched, tugged at my wrist, brown and blush fingers, frayed nails, barren oak eyes, slits on her face. She whispered, "Can I have a bracelet? Can I have one? 7 plastic bangles, red glitter, $6.50. I gave her one, then ordered my food. Thanks again, and we're really looking forward to the Slam Poets.
I like this noise, listen. Isn't that cool? Okay, stay. Can you hear me? Is that right? All right, so now we are gonna move into the open mic portion, and I will just introduce folks as they come along according to this list. And it looks like our first poet is Kathy Doolittle. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My poem is called No Way Out. Everywhere I turn, I hurt somebody, but there's nothing I can say to change the things I've done. I'd do anything within my power. I'll give everything I got, but the path I seek is hidden from me now. Brother Bill, I let you down. You trusted me, believed in me, and I let you down. Of all the things I hid from you, I can't hide the shame, and I pray someone, something will take away the pain. There's no way out of this dark place, no hope, no future. I know I can't be free, but I can't see another way, and I can't face another day. I know it's hard, but you found somehow to look into your heart and forgive me now. You've given me the strength to see just why my journey ends. I see the path from this dark place. I see my future. Your forgiveness has set me free. I can see another way. I see the path from this dark place. I see my future. Thank you.
Okay, and we have Brendan Hartnotter up next.
I wrote this poem last fall after a date where we had pizza. Grease drips onto my plate, staining it yellow and wet. Cheese stretches rather than break, and crust cracks and splits apart. But none of that matters as I gaze across the table. That face I just met burned into my heart. Behind me, the wall is covered with paints, New York, the Big Apple, and me, here I face her and dive into her eyes as I search for my face in her heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Brendan. Ms. Kari Haas. Kari Haas. I went Kari Haas. It's Kari Haas. I've known you too long.
So ashamed.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
This is called public service announcement. Step away from the stage. For God's sake, people, step back and look away. Because I am gonna make out with this microphone. And it's gonna be obscene. Heavy petting, moaning. I won't get a room or be sorry, because nothing is sexier to a poet than a microphone on a stage in front of an audience. I can barely stand to keep my hands off of it. So shield your virgin eyes and cover your virgin ears, because I can't promise I'm not going to make love to this microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, for your safety, step away from the stage. That's a PSA. There's enough passion on the stage to commit murder. And since this microphone is my gun and honesty, my bullets, you're all in terrible danger. Call 911 and tell them that I'm starting a riot of sincerity. We're committing arson to put some color back into the world. We strike our voices against the mics, and we all go down in flames. We're burning, burning, burning. I'm burning. I'm starting a revolution. So, ladies and gentlemen, step back from the stage. For God's sake, step back and look away, because I love this microphone, and my passion will change the world.
She's not kidding either. Ian Stewart.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
This is called Running Through the Daisies. I don't seem to. I can't seem to. Let me. Wait. No. No. No.
The end.
Kelly Martin.
Hello. This is a poem that I wrote myself. It's called Trees. Maple trees, oak trees, pine and ash trees, sycamore, hemlock, beech, and bass trees. So many trees that you can find, so many trees of every kind. Short and wide trees, narrow and tall trees, old and young and big and small trees. So many trees to dazzle your eyes, so many trees of every size. Producing oxygen, absorbing CO2, anchoring the soil, and providing shade too. So many things that trees can do, so many things for me and you. Chattering squirrels, bumbling bees, singing birds that sound their decrees, beautiful butterflies floating in the breeze, so many creatures live in the trees. Come, sit down and rest a while under the trees that make you smile. Climb in their branches and feel them sway, then leave to come back another day. All of a sudden, there's a rumbling sound that shivers the leaves and trembles the ground. As it grows louder, the animals pause and look around to discover the cause. Then, like an elephant out of the green, come the giant lumbering machines. With thundering voices and sulfurous breath, they roar into the forest like angels of death. The machines, not wanting to waste any time, begin to whistle and rattle and whine. Around them, each and every tree is waiting in horror, unable to flee. The mechanical monsters reach out their grasp and enclose the tall trunks in their vice-like clasp. They rip tangled roots and shake down leaves, ignoring the poor plant's silent pleas. The trees are pulled up, chopped, wood chipped, and ground, and the forest is cleared for 2 miles around. The destruction's complete, and the animals have run. It takes only 3 weeks for the job to be done. The machines now leave the desolate scene. There is no longer any trace of green. All that's left are some sticks and some soil, a vast barren wasteland made by mechanized toil. And all the maple trees, oak trees, pine and ash trees, sycamore, hemlock, beech, and bass trees are absolutely nowhere to be found, totally gone for miles around. The chattering squirrels, bumbling bees, birds and butterflies flying in the breeze have fled the destruction, the toxic disease, in search of some other place that still has trees. Soon the ground will be covered in tar and concrete that wears on the soul and is hard on the feet. In place of the woods will be highways and malls, big boxy buildings that brood over all. Such is the sad fate of the wonderful trees. In creating what we want, we have destroyed what we need. Thank you.
Calvin Kim.
All right. So I wrote this last night because I stayed up till 3 because of the storm. And just, yeah, all right. Thunder be hitting, and our hearts be missing. The sounds and bolts, and at times will be ripping. Rain drops, the water pops. Puddles form, and people flop. We feel it on our skin, we're really in the moment. Cause our ears shake, our nose flakes, our tongues mate, and our eyes speculate. Boom, you hear Zeus's roar. Everything is seen, but once was ignored. Now the family is close, adrenaline is spiking. It's the resurrection of the almighty Kraken. The storm has sailed, and now it's new Jean. Let's look at the sunshine and have our coup face on. Thank you.
I am not Miss Bell, not white, purple, yellow, fluffy, old. I am green, googly eyes, tiny arms, long legs. I have been under the mud. My blood was antifreeze. I did not freeze. Antifreeze did not freeze. Then it warmed up and I came up out of the mud. And there was a tree and I climbed it, and there are millions of me. And they are not huge. They are this huge. This huge. And there is one thing, not cold, warm, not cold, hot. Now hot, 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 hot goes up my belly and down my legs. Hot, hot, hot. The one thing I am thinking, amplexus. Amplexus. Sex. Sex. plexus, and everyone thinks it. And plexus. It comes out. Peep, 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 peep. And now all of you. Peep, peep, come on. It's that time of year. Thank you.
Oh my God. Only she could do that. Okay. It's time to move into our third and final phase of today's event. I think, unless there's anybody else who wanted to read during the open mic that did not sign up, are we cool? I think we're okay. All right. Let me explain a little bit about Poetry Slams for those of you who maybe have never been to one. Is there anybody out there who has never been to a Poetry Slam? Don't be shy. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is how it works. There is a particular format to a slam, and we're going to take a little bit of liberty with that format because we don't have as many poets as we might to do it the normal way. But typically what happens at a poetry slam, and this part is going to happen, is that we are going to ask for volunteers to serve as judges. We need 5 judges, and I'll ask for those volunteers in just a moment. There are people right out of the audience. You do not have to have any experience as a slam judge. You don't even have to be a poet. You just have to like listening to the spoken word. The judges will be given papers and a marker and will be asked to judge a poem on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest. And those 5 scores will look, they'll work like this. The top score and the bottom score will be thrown out, and the 3 remaining scores will be totaled up for the final score for that poet. So the final score could be anywhere from 3 to 30. Typically in slams, there are different rounds and people are eliminated until finally one winner is selected. But we're not gonna have multiple rounds. We're just gonna have 1 round. We're going to start though with what's called a calibration poem. And a calibration poem, is Brendan still here? Yeah, you didn't leave me yet. Okay, good. A calibration poem is a poem that somebody volunteers to read, and the judges sort of do a practice judging on it just to see that everybody's kind of on the same page with the way they're judging. So, I'm eating my hair. So today, Brendan has volunteered to read the calibration, to recite the calibration poem. It's not a piece that he wrote himself. I'm going to let him introduce it to you. But we're going to ask the judges to judge his poem and just see that they're all pretty close in their opinions to make sure that we're judging accordingly. And then we will go into the actual competition. So I do need 5 volunteers to be judges. Yeah? Okay, so judges, you're going to listen to Brendan recite this poem, and you're going to judge him on a scale of 1 to 10. You'll hold up your score at the end. We'll drop the highest and the lowest, and we'll see how we do. Okay? You ready? All right.
This is a poem by Taylor Molly. In case you hadn't realized, it has somehow become uncool to sound like you know what you're talking about. Or believe strongly in what you're, like, saying. Invisible question marks and parenthetical you knows and you know what I'm sayings have been attaching themselves to the ends of our sentences. Even when those sentences aren't, like, questions. Declarative sentences, so-called because they used to, you know, declare things to be true, as opposed to other things, which are, like, totally not, have been infected by this tragically cool and totally hip interrogative tone. As if I'm saying, don't think I'm a nerd or anything, just because I've, like, noticed this, okay? I've got nothing personally invested in my own opinions. I'm just inviting you to join me on the bandwagon of my own uncertainty. What has happened to our conviction? Where are the limbs out on which we once walked? Have they been, like, chopped down with the rest of the rainforest? You know? Or do we just have, like, nothing to say? Have we just gotten to the point where we have become the most inarticulate generation to come along since, you know, a long time ago? So I implore you, I entreat you, and I challenge you to speak with conviction, to say what you believe in a manner which bespeaks the determination with which you believe it. Because contrary to the wisdom of the bumper sticker, it is not enough to simply question authority. You've got to speak with it too. Thank you.
All right, so give them a score between 1 and 10. And will the judges hold up your scores so that I can see them? I see a 9, I see a 6, I see a 7, I see a 9. And there should be one more. There it is. And a 3. Okay, so the 3 is out and the 9 is out. So that leaves us a 9, a 7, and a 6. Am I right? I lost them. They went down so fast. 16... 13, 22? I'm not a math teacher, people. Help me out. 22. Okay, 22. I think we, you know, there was a range, but I think we're okay. Do you guys feel good about going forward? All right, let's do it. Lisbeth, can you be my assistant? I think I picked the most shy person. So we have 6 people competing today. And rather than go in any predetermined order, we put their names in this little lunch bag and we're going to draw names. Okay?
Sarah Knapp,
you're up first.
Hi guys. My poem is called I Am a Light Post. I am a light post. I am not a person. I am a light post. I stand tall, always proud of my place in this world. I light dark sidewalks and the night bugs all crowd around me, dancing to the tune of my shine. My sleek skin is made of metal. No one can hurt me. Have you ever tried to hurt metal? Because you can't. Bones bend to metal. And when it rains, people swing around me, singing and dancing, just like that old movie. I can't remember the name of it. I am a person. I am a light post who was never lost in the dark, who always has company, who was never hurt, who always has a place in old movies. When times were simple and happy and grand, that's why I am a light post, not a person. Thank you.
Let's see her scores. This time, hold them up for me a little longer, please. Austin, it's moving too much. There you go. 5, 8, 6, 7, 5. Okay, so we drop the 8 and we drop the 5. Wait, keep the others up. 6, 5 is 11, and 7. We have an 18 for Sarah Knapp. 18. I need to write these down. Yep, so I do need to. Sarah has 18. Will you? Thank you. Yeah. Next up is Kathy Doolittle.
Hello. This is called It's So Cool. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
This is called It's So Cool. It's almost 9 years since I graduated. Seeing old teachers, seeing what used to be not you. It's so cool seeing some old faces still here and meeting new ones. It's so cool seeing how many people who showed up. I always had some kind of backpack on. I take my backpack everywhere. And when I came to see some people here at the high school, I had to bring my backpack. And no one cared who I saw, but it's so cool that I had my backpack. Thank you.
Okay, judges. We have 4 and a 5 and a 6, 7, 5. We dropped the 4, we dropped the 7, and we have 5. I lost it. Help me out here again. 10, and I think there was a 4. Okay, so 14, right? Is that right? No, 16. 16, sorry, 16. Good. Okay. Huh? Oh, Ellie Poivre. From DeWitt. From DeWitt.
So this is written to a guy, about a guy named Kevin. He's a 7th grader who thinks I'm very uncool. So I told Kevin that we invented cool, and he snorted with laughter that one so old could possibly be such a fool. But we were young, and then it was that everything was new. We were different from our parents because we invented cool. Oh, okay. It started with the beatniks writing poetry out loud. Then Miles took over jazz and bebop from the bebop crowd. That was cool before we were born. Mm-hmm. And that's where we came in. We were real and we were torn, but our lives went on within. We came at the end of hippies with guitars and with our poems. It was truly hard to maintain ourselves with so much going wrong. And the rest of it's in here. Uh-oh. And so here we go. It was really all right, but we survived to spread the word. Well, at least I'm here right now. Cool is cool is cool as cool, and sometimes cool is warm.
Ha ha ha. All right. Judges! Austin, you have to make a decision, honey. Help him out, Gunner. 5577. And just waiting on Austin. 6. You went with 6? So we drop a 5, we drop a 7, and we keep a 6, 7, and a 5. 18. Excellent. All right. We have 2 latecomers that we're going to put in the bag here.
What was our score?
18. Katie, you can do it. Come on, Katie. Woo!
Maybe I don't want to. Maybe I don't want to take a walk, go for a bike ride, or listen to music, or take a nap, or go for a run, or scream, or count to 100, or read a good book, or practice yoga, or punch a pillow, or draw a picture, or write in my journal, or take a deep breath, or play with my dog, or lay in the sun, or hold an ice cube, or call a friend, or bang the drums, or play in the park, or do my homework, or ask you for a hug. Maybe I just want to see what happens if I make the blood run.
Okay. Did you all hear that? You could hear that, right? Okay. Okay. Loud and clear. Oh, that's right. We have youngsters in our midst. All right. Good. Good. Nah. We allow that kind of thing down here in the big house. All right. Let me see those scores, please. 7, 8, 6, 6, and 7. So we're going to drop an 8, and we're going to drop a 6, and we're going to keep a 7 and a 6. And I lost it. Austin, 14 and 6 is 20. Katie, you just took the lead. We got one more latecomer. Yeah, thanks for the smile. Okay. Dr. Leslie Myers, you're up.
Hello, everyone. Hello. All right. I wrote this poem probably about a year and 2 months ago, and I was just starting a new relationship with actually someone I had dated when I was 18. I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was. And so this poem is dedicated to Randy Small. And it goes a little something like this. It's like a child riding her bike for the very first time. It's like a chef making a dish that tickles the tongue and blows the mind. It's like a painter musing his Picasso with color and flair. It's like sledding down a hill with the wind and snow in your hair. It's like a mother seeing her baby for the very first time. It's like a mother seeing her baby after labor and pain. It's like running barefoot in the grass right after the rain. It's like melting a snowflake on the tip of your tongue. It's like the satisfaction you get after completing a marathon run. It's like seeing the sunrise in Oahu, Hawaii. It's like a war general developing a faultless tactical strategy. It's like the photographer catching the right light with the angle and light. It's like watching a falling star in the sky at night. It's like a boxer landing the perfectly placed lunch. It's like finding that Twinkie my mom placed in my lunch. It's like the relief you feel after taking off a girdle. It's like the lesson learned of the hare and the turtle. It's like the surfer hanging 10 forever on a wave, dude. It's like Godiva chocolate satisfying an insatiable crave when I'm not in the mood. It's like the athleticism and cockiness of Usain Bolt. It's like the high you get after combining no-dos with Joke Coke. It's like a father walking his father down the aisle. It's like what Janet Jackson speaks of in Let's Wait a While. It's like the accomplishment you feel after hearing Pomp and Circumstance. It's like the cute boy in junior high who finally asked you to the dance. It's like this, that, and like this, uh-huh. It's like this and like that and like this, uh-huh. That's what you do for me.
All right, let's see those scores. See, 2 9s, an 8, and a 6. Okay, drop a 6, drop a 9, and we have 17, and 8 is 25, Dr. Myers. And next up is Angelique. All right, give her a hand.
Hi, guys. So, being that I'm an adult, I wanted to bring something to the table that would speak to you kids. So I wrote this when I was 16, and trying to deal with friendship, you can't have too many friends, but sometimes you really can have too many friends. This is called How to Be Your Friend. Shouldn't I ask the right questions? What I want is what you want. So what is it that you want again? I can give you my mouth, talk the right words. I can say yes when you want no. I can stay when I should probably go. I can give you my ears. I can hear you all day long where you think you went wrong, but I'd rather give you my heart. So I'll tear mine apart just so you know that I'm trying to be your friend. I couldn't care more for you. I think I already do, but it's too late to stop me when I get going. But I forget to wait, and I take too much liberty when I'm trying to get you to see the blue skies when it's snowing. I can give you my eyes. I can see you hurt yourself when you act like you don't know your wealth. I can give you my hands. I can hold you up high when you'd rather die, when you'd rather hide than let me see you cry. But I'd rather give you my faith, no matter what I have at stake, just so I know that I'm being your friend. You can't shut me out. I laugh when you try. Does it seem to you that I stick like glue? I'd like to give you the choice. I don't mind your voice, do you? I sort of grew on you. Shouldn't I say the right words? So what is it now? What do you want now? I can give you everything. I could be silly and sing, contradict what you say because you'll change your mind anyway. I can give you just me. I can clear the fog when you can't see and annoy you and bore you and make you mad that I know you. I suppose it's what you'd want from someone like me, from anyone who wants to know how to be your friend.
All right. That did sound like high school, didn't it? Right? All right, let's see the scores. 4, 6, 6, 6, 7. We drop a 7, we drop a 4, and we get 3 6s for 18. Do we have anybody left?
Yeah, we got Carrie and...
Oh, we got a couple left. You didn't see that. Harry Haas. Did I say it right?
Yeah. You want to put me?
Yes. Thank you. I've been waiting all day.
This poem is called Beautiful. Don't call me fat. Don't let that word pass your mental filter and seep from your lips like poison. Choke on it. Drop dead where you stand, because I don't want to hear that word voiced in my presence again. Not even once, not even over my dead body. My soul will rise up like a phoenix and burn you into a crisp. I don't want to hear that word, because fuck you. I'm beautiful. Did I just shock you? Did I just slap you across the face with my own self-confidence? Has your mouth formed a little O of surprise? Size 20, and I love my body. I won't diet, and I won't fast. I won't count calories or grams of fat, and I won't play by your point system. Put your insults away, they can't touch me. That ship has sailed full speed ahead across the ocean. It's fallen off the edge of the world, and it's not coming back. Don't call me fat. I'll take beautiful or gorgeous. In the words of Jeff Jacks, I'll take aerodynamically curvaceous, if you must, voluptuous. Otherwise, you can get out. You and the ass you thought you could ride in on.
Judges, I see a 9, I see an 8, I see a 7.5, we're going to get into decimals now, huh? I see a 10, and all right, we're going to drop the 7.5 and the 10, and we're going to keep up the 8, and the 8 is 16, and the 9 is 25. 25, I do believe we have a little tie. No, I got it. 16 and 9. No, give me that one. Okay. All right. Ian Stewart, you're up.
Hello again. This is called Do I Like Clowns? Do I like clowns? Big, ugly, stupid, drunk, annoying, murderous, sick, vile, putrid, and disgusting. Evil, creepy, perverse, destructive, red-nosed, disturbed, mindless, insane, screwy, and somewhat hateful beasts. Yes, I actually do like clowns.
All right, we got a 10, and the 8, and the 7, 6. Keep them up there for just a minute for me, please. Drop the 6, drop the 10. We have 15 and 6 stayed up. Right, 21. I think we have one poet left. Who is it? Yeah, I think it is too. Talia, is that your name, Talia? Talia. From DeWitt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo!
I wish I could use the fuzzy microphone. But this one's not fuzzy. Okay, so this poem I wrote it just before I came here, and it's kind of morbid because I was in a really bad mood, so yeah. Anger, sadness, hatred, jealousy. I'm starting to question my sanity at this point. Was I crazy in the first place? I don't remember anymore. All I remember was the pain as I fell. For you, only you. But now, it doesn't matter. It was the night of my 16th birthday. I was so excited, so happy to see you. I remember your eyes clouded with doubt, an expression I couldn't even begin to comprehend. But I went along with it, as if everything was right. We had dinner at a fancy hotel on the roof. It was romantic. I hadn't seen you alone in so long. I was content for once. You didn't say a word. I went to the edge of the building and looked down. It must have been at least six stories high. I felt you put your hands on my back, pushing. I screamed for dear life. He had a sadistic grin on his face as I fell and hit the ground, the crimson red painting my white dress. I never loved you, he says. I knew and I didn't care. Maybe I am crazy. It was all a lie, a lie. But now it doesn't matter, I'd think, as I looked at the world painted red for the last time. And at this point, I know I'm insane as my eyes flutter closed and I take in my last breath. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
No, I'm not crying. That's not
this
one day.
I know. Awesome. How about some scores, judges? 6 and 5 and 6 and 2 and 1 more. I need 1 more. 8, we dropped the 2, we dropped the 8, and we have 12 and 5, 17. We're just figuring this out. So these two are tied, right? Okay. All right. We have a tie for first place between Dr. Myers and Carrie Haas. Congratulations. And then, I don't know, do you call it second place after that? That's Ian Stewart. And I believe that Ms. Bell has the prizes, am I right? Would you like to present? Rubber ducks! Everybody needs a rubber ducky. Since we had a tie for first place, we were planning on doing first, second, and third. And since we had a tie for first, we still should have a third, don't you think? We should have a third. Third place is Katie Roberts. Yay! And I also just want to thank everybody again. This was way fun. And let you know that we have a table full of cookies and yummies, and you can come and help yourselves. And be sure that you also get a copy of the poem in your pocketbook from Cornell. That's on the table as well. All right, thanks. Hang out, mingle, enjoy. Thank you all. Thank you, my lovely assistant.